Ezekiel chapter number 37, verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, I need your help this morning. I can't do this without you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look into your word, Lord, and just take some very practical, very simple truths out of your word. And as we apply them to our lives, Lord, I pray that you would just touch each one of our hearts, Lord, the way you've touched my heart. Lord, I know I can't do this without you. I know that the things that we do without the Spirit of God is just vain. And Lord, I pray that we would recognize that and help us as we're starting our fall program next month or next Sunday and as we get ready for that. And Lord, I pray that everything that we do, the contacts that we make and the things that we do would all be done in the power of you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Guide my lips this morning. Help pastors he preaches later. Help all the Sunday school teachers now as they're teaching. Pray that you'd bless them and help them. And Lord, thank you for all that you do, all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, we talked about last week about you must have a vision. You must have a vision, first of all, of what you actually see. All right? And you know, you can't just skim over the fact that there's dry bones here. All right? Ezekiel can go into this valley and say, well, you know, I can see a lot of other things, but there's a very stark thing in front of him, and that's the fact that this valley is full of dry bones. Kind of a creepy situation if you can take your mind there. But he also, it's not just the fact that it's not what he just sees, it's what he needs to see what these bones can become. Okay? And you know, I mentioned it right before we closed last time, but you know, David, you know, he was given basically when he was in the cave hiding, when Saul was searching for him, and he had these men come to him, okay? And he could have been like, well, you owe money, so I can't use you. You know, and he could have been, you're maybe a murderer, I can't use you. You're this, I can't use you. But he didn't do that. You know, those men that were probably the outcasts of society that came to David, he was able, as a leader, he was able to not just see what they were, but he was able to see what they could be. And he was able to also help these men. You know, these men were, you know, you read through the list of David's mighty men, these men were, you know, the ultimate fighters. They had the ultimate loyalty to David. And, you know, you had men that would go, you know, break through a barricade of Philistines just to get their leader a drink of water. Why was that? Because at some point their leader saw not just what they were, he saw what they could have been. And, you know, for our young people, like I said last week, we have bringing a lot of young people in here, and it's not just about seeing who they are, and it's not just about seeing the problems that they have. Remember what I said, you know, when I see a young person with, you know, weird colored hair, all right, I'm not judging them. You know, I talked about judging last week, I got off a kick on that, but I'm not judging them for that. You know what that is to me? That's a cry for help. Because they're trying to associate with a certain group of people. They're just trying to fit in with a certain group of people. Now, it's not the right group of people, okay? And to us, that's not a normal thing. But instead of looking at them as, well, that's just who they are and passing them off as they'll never be anything, it's not about doing that. It's about seeing what God could do with them and help them get to that point in their life. Okay, and we can just throw away the dry bones, or we can look at where God's, what God can do with these dry bones. Okay, and obviously it's not us. You know, it wasn't anything that Ezekiel did. The only thing that Ezekiel did was obey God. Okay, that's the only thing that Ezekiel did was obey God. He was in the spirit. He was right with God. We talked about that. He had to be right with God. And, you know, for us as those that work with, you know, a church is a hospital for everybody, okay? And, you know, if you're here on Sunday morning in Sunday school, most of you are hospital workers, okay? You know what we do? We bring in people that are spiritually sick and we try to help them, okay? If we ever get to the point, if I ever get to the point where I can look at a teenager or a young person and say, well, I just, you know, their path, they're beyond anything that we can do. Well, they may be, but they're not beyond what God can do, okay? But God wants somebody that's yielded to Him. He's Spirit-led, okay? We saw that in the first part of Ezekiel. If you notice, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried out in the Spirit of the Lord, all right? So we have the power of God in our lives, okay? Secondly, you got to be where God wants you to be, okay? That's where God put him. He carried me and he set me in the midst of the valley, and it was full of dry bones. Now, you know, it was probably one of the weirdest messages Ezekiel ever preached, okay? And we talked about that some last week. So you must have a vision of what things really are, but you also must have a vision of what things could be. And I'm just kind of reviewing for, because it's kind of, we're picking up for the young adult class for everybody else. Many times it is the impossible that God, in which God wants to show himself strong. And, if everybody comes in that is, you know, precision and up to snuff, where's the miracle at? Okay? You know, some of the people that are most grateful are the ones to whom most is forgiven. Remember the lady in the Bible that God forgave so much and she gave so much back to God? And the disciples didn't understand that because they never came from where she was at. And some of you can understand more the grace of God because the grace of God has been manifested more in our lives. So, but many times it's impossible that God wants to show himself strong. This morning, I want to talk about this. We're going to talk about the different things that were involved in what came on these bones. Okay, and we'll go as quick as we can, and I'll try to be careful and meticulous. But let me say this. Most Christians today are a mighty army that is perhaps flesh and bone. Many have sinews, and most have skin, but very few actually have the breath. All right? And stick with me this morning. I'll explain what... And, you know, there's all kinds of applications out of Ezekiel 37. Pastor wrote a whole book on it. And honestly, I read the book, you know, while I was, you know... Hey, I'm not out to invent anything new, all right? So, you know, if some of this sounds familiar, I stole it from his book, all right? So, just saying, all right? Why do all the research? It's already done for me, right? So, but there's an application here, and I want you to see this this morning, because we're getting ready to go into a time of prayer. This is something our church has never done before, okay? Our teenagers on September the 29th are doing a teen rally, and this is just for our teens. We're not inviting any other churches. It's just for our teens. But what is the purpose of this teen rally? There's one purpose. It's basically to get lost kids here, okay? And, you know, we can go into this with, all right, this is the plan, and you got to have a plan. Okay, I'm not saying you don't have a plan. Pastor has a plan for this. He's got a plan for Operation Occupation. He's got a plan for the days of prayer. He's got a plan for the days of soul winning and the revival meetings. He's got a plan, but unless there is the breath, there is no life. Okay, unless you're abiding, and I'm going to show you this. Unless you're abiding, there is no life. Okay, and unless there is no life, if there is no life, there will be no fruit. Okay, and I'm going to show you this. So we've got Christians. All right, so if you can go back to Ezekiel chapter 37 in your mind, Ezekiel's preaching. It's a man of God that's where God wants him to be. He's filled with the Spirit of God. So this is just the man of God. He's where God wants him to be. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And he's saying what God wants him to say. He says exactly what God wants him to say. But you know, there's still the fact that there's a whole bunch of bones there that have to do something. Okay? And there is, you know, if you read Pastor's book, he explains it, and I'm just going to explain it to you. You know, there's this, the bones come together. Now, when I think of this battle, this scene, okay, these people all died for some reason. Okay? Either there was a battle that went on here, or maybe a plague that happened. But regardless, it doesn't matter. Bones, if you see a carcass, Brother Nathan, a deer carcass in the woods, the deer carcass normally isn't in one, you know, carcass. There's bones everywhere, okay? So when the Bible said the bones came to his bone, these bones, you know, Joe's bone may be over here. Sorry if your name's Joe. But Joe's bone may be over here, you know, closer to Pete's bones, all right? But that doesn't mean Joe's bones go to Pete's bones. Joe's bones go back to Joe's bones. Pete's bones go to Pete's bones, all right? So the bodies come together, all right? Now, I have an overactive imagination. It's part of doing children's church. I told the story of David and Goliath in children's church. Brother Ryan and Miss Carrie probably have never heard the story of David and Goliath quite like that. It was exciting, amazing. So the bones are coming together. But then the second thing that happens, if you look down at verse number, the Bible says verse number 6, this is what God says he's going to do to these. The Bible says, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. All right, so verse 7, so I prophesied, Ezekiel prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. I got thinking about this when I was kind of meditating on this over the past few weeks, and I got thinking about why did God very specifically give us all these things? Why didn't he just say, you know, and they were, you know, they were humans again. They were flesh again. Why did he have to go through, and why did he say there was sinews that came up, and there was flesh that came up, and there was skin that came up? Now, my imagination. So you got these skeletons that are now full skeletons, and then flesh starts appearing on them. So Ezekiel's watching all this. Now, I know Ezekiel's seen a lot of weird things in his ministry, and we've talked about a lot of things that God's asked Ezekiel to do that have been very odd, okay? But this has got to be one of the weirdest. And he's in this valley full of bones now that are now developing flesh, okay? And it's not the flesh that you see, because you see my skin. This is the internal organs. This is the inner workings, all right? Eyeballs start appearing in these things. And, I mean, it's weird, okay? And flesh and the sinews. And I got to think, why did God specify all these different things? Because I think all of these different things are different stages of where Christians are in our lives. Okay, now think about this. What are sinews? Okay, sinews are, technically, sinews are what ties your muscle groups to your bones, if you want to be technical about it, okay? That's a sinew. So it ties your muscle groups to your bone groups. So we could say that the flesh would be the muscles and the sinews. So we can kind of group all that. I would group all that together, all right? And then we've got the skin, all right? Now, you know, my physical stature is different than a lot of other people's physical stature. My physical stature is different than Brother Josh's physical stature, okay? So, you know, his muscle groups are different than my muscle groups. Does that make sense? All right? Because just the fact of the way we're built, all right? So we're all different, and God gives, you know the amazing thing about the way God created everybody? Everybody's different, okay? God created everybody in this room with a different personality, okay? And God created everybody in this room with different abilities and honestly with different disabilities, okay? And I don't want to use the term disabilities, you know, but, you know, you get over it. But we've all got, I've got disabilities. Most of them are mental, okay? We do. So we've all got these abilities, that things that we can excel at, and then things that maybe we don't excel at. But things that I may not excel at, somebody else in this room may excel at. Does that make sense? That's part of being the body of Christ, all right? Because God fitly joins everything together the way he wants us to. And when the body, that's why when one person leaves the body of Christ, the body doesn't function as well as it could be able to. Or when one part of the body says, I don't want to be here, I don't want to help, I don't want to contribute, the whole body hurts. Have you ever had one little muscle, you know, that you would think it's something really insignificant, but it got hurt somehow? And amazing how much it limits everything that your body does. Well, when one member of the family, one member of the body of Christ gets hurt or drops out or just goes AWOL, you know, the whole body hurts because of that. That's why it's important. You know, you got to be here. You got to plug in. Whatever the direction you're doing, everything has to work together. I do a lot of construction and different things, and people are, at some point, your body becomes almost a machine. And I hate to say a machine. I don't want to sound weird. But every part of your body works together. I mean, when you're framing and you're setting trusses and you're climbing around, every little part of your body must work simultaneously. Okay? And it's amazing how God's designed us. But you have if your toe hurts, isn't it amazing how much that affects? Or your feet hurt and you just, man, everything you do, it hurts. Well, that's the way the body of Christ is sometimes. That's why it's important that we plug in and do what we're supposed to. So we've got this flesh, all right? Let's get back to it. We've got this flesh that comes up. We've got these sinews that come up, all right? And to me, this represents, okay, you've got the structure. You've got the muscles. Now, what are muscles used for? To do things. So we've got Christians that, okay, yeah, they're here, and they're doing things. And that's where I am a lot of times, and I'm not proud of it, but that's where I am. We do things because that's what we're expected to do. We come to church because that's what we're expected to do. We go visit our bus route because that's what we're expected to do. But at some point, you know, there's a difference in having life and just having the muscle, okay? A person with muscle can do things, all right? That's where a lot of Christians are. You can teach a Sunday school class, okay? I could go out right now and teach children's church without thinking about it, without prepping for it, okay? I can do that. I could stand up here and lead a song. That's no big deal. That's just part of that's a mechanical operation, okay? I can go knock on a door. I can talk. I can invite somebody to church. To me, I've been in the Christian life for 30 years now, okay? 30 years. I've grown up in church. It's commonplace to be able to talk to somebody about God. It's commonplace to invite somebody to church. That's not a big deal anymore. It's commonplace to read your Bible. It's commonplace to pray. But you know what that is? That's just muscle. Muscle memory. You know how many things you do in life because of muscle memory? I'm going to preach a message one time, and I've got the bicycle. Brother Loveless gave me the bicycle. And it's funny if you've never, but it's a backwards bike, okay? And what you do is if you turn the handlebars left, the wheel actually goes to the right. If you turn the handlebars right, the wheel actually goes to the left. You know it's impossible to ride that if you've learned how to ride a normal bike, okay? What is that? It's muscle memory. Okay, your muscle has developed these things, and you have to basically retrain your brain to do that. And then it's funny, if you retrain your brain, you can't ride a normal bike. But you know how many things are muscle memory? You know how many things we do? We go to church because it's Christian muscle memory. Okay, we just do what we do because it's muscle memory. All right, so we've got these bodies that have the muscle, okay? A robot can do work, though. They've replaced man labor with robots in a lot of industries because A robot can do work. All right? A robot shows up on time all the time. Okay? A robot don't call off sick. Now, yeah, they got to fix them every once in a while, but they don't have that human error in them. All right? So that's, you know, so if we're just doing things for the sake of doing them, how are we different than spiritual robots? We're not. Okay? But there is a difference. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Skin. So the Bible says in verse number 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. You know, we've got a lot of people that, you know, as at this point, if the muscle was just there, it still would be something you would see out of some kind of horror movie, okay? Because you've just got these skinless corpses standing there, okay? Weird, right? But then the Bible says the skin came up. You know what the skin does? The skin makes you look like who you are. Your skin, what everything it is, the outer covering that everybody sees you to be. And you know, there's a lot of Christians, and I hate to say it, but a lot of times we're here where the skin is there. We are the prototype Christian, okay? But we're still just a corpse that may be functioning with muscle, that may look like a human, but it's just a corpse. And I'm so afraid that so many times we, in our Christianity, we just get this cold, and a lot of it's just repetition. I mean, when's the last time you actually felt the Holy Spirit conviction to do something? And we've turned that off so many times. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Someone that breathes is one that is alive. They just don't work. They live it. They breathe it. Not only do they live and breathe, but they live fulfilled. Go to John chapter number 16. John chapter 16. So, Brother Chad, what is this breath? Okay, well, very obviously, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, but that doesn't mean that He has control of us, okay? And the Holy Spirit's got some very different functions, all right? John chapter 16, if you're in John, we're going to look at this. What is one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit? John chapter 16, look at verse number 7, if you would. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you this truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So we've got one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, and that is conviction. Okay? Now, Brother Chad, you were talking about how to have the breath. Because only when these corpses got the breath did these corpses turn into an exceeding great army. Up until they got the breath, they were just corpses lying there on the ground. Okay? They had the ability to work. They had the muscle groups. They had the skin that made them look like the part. But until they got the breath, they're just still just corpses. Okay? And until we get the breath as Christians, everything we do, yes, we may see some fruit. Okay? But unless you really plug in and abide in God and God abides in us, we won't see the fruit. Okay? And I'm going to show you this in just a moment. So we've got, in John chapter 16, we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Brother Chad, why don't you have the fullness of the Spirit? And when I say the fullness, it doesn't, as Pastor says before, it doesn't that mean that you get more of the Holy Spirit. It means that the Holy Spirit gets more of us. Okay, that's what the fullness of the Spirit is. That means being controlled. My thoughts, my actions, my words, everything runs through the Holy Spirit filter, if you would, and is changed by the Holy Spirit to be what He wants it to be, okay? And so I've got this, you know, we've got the the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Well, Brother Chad, I thought the Holy Spirit was the comforter. Well, he is. He's the comforter. And it doesn't say in John chapter 16, he is the comforter. Okay? The comforter will not come unto you unless I go away. All right? We could see in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Holy Spirit provides power. Okay? We see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Instruction, John chapter 14, you're in John 16, go to John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's a teacher. Okay? He teaches us. So those are all good things. Those are the things we like about the Holy Spirit. You know, the power. Everyone wants the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants the Holy Spirit to come and teach us and to show us things out of His Word, out of God's Word. Assurance. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. The Holy Spirit gives us assurance of our salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being sealing us, okay? And so we've got these three things. I would say, you know, you got to be, you know, the assurance of our salvation, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's over here saying, okay, you're saved. You're saved. You're saved. You're saved. What is that? That's the assurance, all right? That's the assurance of our salvation, that peace that God gives us, okay? And I've dealt with this a lot with children's church kids, okay? Because what happens is you know, we can go to 1 Thessalonians and we see that we can quench the Spirit, okay? Well, the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that says you're saved over here is the same Holy Spirit over here that says you're wrong, okay? It's the same Holy Spirit. But what we want is we want the power. We want the instruction. We want the assurance, okay, over here. But we don't like John chapter 16, verse number 7, where the Bible says he's going to come to reprove us. We don't like that part. So we start saying, all right, you need to be quiet. But who's the same Holy Spirit? Same Holy Spirit that says, all right, you're saved, the same Holy Spirit that says, when I'm wrong, he's the one that says, you're wrong. So I'm telling the one that says, you're wrong, I'm saying, hey, you need to be quiet. I'm fine. This is fine. I can watch this on television. It doesn't hurt me. I can listen to this music. It doesn't hurt me. I can have this attitude. It doesn't hurt me. I can just, you know, sit on the pew and not do anything. It doesn't hurt me. I don't have to go forward and get things right. I'm fine. Just be quiet. But if you're telling him to be quiet, you're also telling him to be quiet. So then that assurance, that the Holy Spirit that says you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, is now becoming you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. Well, that you're too loud. I still hear you reproving me. You need to be quiet. You're saved. Well, what happens? Eventually, the assurance, it's not that the Holy Spirit leaves. The Holy Spirit never will leave us. But the voice that he's talking to us gets quieter and quieter and quieter until you can't hear it anymore. And then people are like, well, I'm not saved. Well, maybe you are saved. You've just quenched him so long. You know, because he doesn't speak one thing and not the other. If you're going to have the assurance, you're going to have the conviction. If you said, Brother Chad, sometimes I just struggle with this assurance thing. Well, if there's been a time that you're saved and you're truly saved, okay, it's sealed. You're done. It's done. But what has been building up over here that you just say, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, and he gets quieter and quieter and quieter, okay? It doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit. It just means the Holy Spirit, you know what you are at this point? You're a corpse. You're walking dead, okay? You are. That's literally what you are. You're a functioning, you've got the facade of a Christian, but you're dead, all right? Why do you say that? Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter number 15. I want the Holy Spirit to work through me, but I can't have the Holy Spirit work through me without the Holy Spirit working in me. I can't have the Holy Spirit working through me unless I have the Holy Spirit working in me. Okay? I can't be a exceeding great army unless I have breath that comes inside. Okay? Otherwise, it's just a group of corpses standing there, sitting there, walking, functioning corpses, but no fruit, no fruit. John chapter number 15, and I don't know. I like doing things that I see in the Bible that are going to be applicable, illustration, because my mind functions better when I can see something, but I'm growing some fruit trees now. Eventually, I really want to get into grafting. I want to try to graft some different sprigs in to my fruit trees, because the Bible talks a lot about a graft. Okay, and it's a biblical thing. But this is John chapter number 15. It speaks somewhat along these lines. The Bible says, verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We've been in the book of 1 John. Remember how God said that, you know, I know that you love me. How does God know that we love him? If we keep his commandments, okay? How does God know, you know, how are we a part, how does God glorified? Verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. I took my wife, I tried to do the good husband thing this week. And I took my wife, I had to go get some Culverts is actually what I had to do. So I took my wife and we went and we made it a date. So that's the way it works, you know. But it was her birthday not too long ago, and she had got some extra money. And so she wanted to buy some new fall decorations. So I did the really good husband thing, and I took her to Hobby Lobby, okay? And I know, it's amazing. So I'm going into Hobby Lobby, and typically when I go shopping with my wife, I take the shopping cart, and I find this little, I mean, you know, the little in-between aisles, you know, everywhere, I find one that doesn't look like anybody has picked anything up recently, and that's where I stand, and I just kind of let her, you know, within, you know, close proximity kind of wander around, because if I just follow her around, I mean, I'm going in circles all over the place. So I'm just stay right here, and whenever you get what you want, I'll pay for it. You know, we'll just, it's a happy thing for us. So that's what I was doing, and she likes building these, making these wreaths, and she does a really good job making wreaths. And so I'm looking at all these, you know, all their fall decoration was 40% off or whatever this week. So that's the reason she wanted to go to Hobby Lobby. And so I'm standing there and I'm looking at all these things. And you know, it's amazing, and even up here, it's amazing how realistic they've gotten to produce flowers and fruit. You know, some things that, you know, and you'd have, I could, some of the new stuff, I could have a real apple up here and a fake apple, and you really couldn't tell the difference, okay, until you bit into it. Really. And you know, we can, as Christians, we can put on the facade. We can look like what we're supposed to look like. But you know, an apple tree, you could build a fake apple tree, but a fake apple tree never, ever, ever will produce a real fruit. Because you know why? Because there's no life there. It can look like it. We can get a corn cob that's got, you know, all the multicolored corn on it that's fake. And you know, I can take off one of those little kernels and I can stick it in the ground and it will never do anything. Because there's no life there. You know, I don't want my life to be something that I look like the real thing. And maybe I even act like the real thing. But the only way for me to really produce fruit, the only way for us as Christians to really be an exceeding great army, is when the Holy Spirit has control of us. When the Holy Spirit, when the things that we do come as a result of the life that's in us, not because of the muscles and the muscle memory, not because it's a facade, the skin that everybody, well, that's what they expect me to do, so that's what I'm going to do. If we can get past, you know, we've got some big days coming up. I'm excited. The Stand for the Flag thing, I am really excited about that. You know, we've got some exciting things coming up. But if people walk into our church and, you know, okay, a lot of flowers look real. But at some point, you look at it long enough, you can tell that it's lifeless. And are people going to walk into Blessed Hope Baptist Church and be like, you know, at first glance, it looks, man, this is great. But how long will it take before they detect, is there a fakeness here? Is there a falseness here? Are we producing the fruit that God wants us to produce? Are we having souls saved I don't have the soul saved that I should be having seen saved. I'm not producing the fruit that I know that I need to be producing. I'm just being honest with you, okay? Because so many times, why is that? Because so many times the Holy Spirit says, you need to get rid of this. And I'm like, nah, I'm okay. I'm all right. And we live this way. Not so much that we lose the assurance of our salvation, but just enough to quench it. Just to keep it quiet. Well, if he's going to be quiet, you know, the power, the same Holy Spirit that gives you the power is the same Holy Spirit that reproves. And I don't know but to the amount that we quench the Holy Spirit is the same amount that the power is quenched on this side. So as we get into this, you know, this is Ezekiel. As we get, you know, we need an exceeding great army. Flesh and bone, personalities, but every one of us has the breath. And it's not an age thing. It's not for teenagers, just for teenagers. It's not just for senior saints. It's not just for adults. It's not just for those in leadership. It's not just for those on the pew. It's for everybody. You know, there's all different levels in an army. But the Bible says they were all dry bones in this valley. It's for everybody. Okay, and I have to make the decision myself to be where I need to be for God. And have that, you know, if God, the Holy Spirit's convicting me of stuff, I need to get that right. Because I don't want anything to come between the power of the Holy Spirit working through my life. And I have to be a clean vessel. We all do, all right? So let's decide to be an exceeding great army. We've got to get empty of ourselves and full of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord. Lord, it's so easy to just do the functions, to be the pseudo Christian, and just to function as a Christian, maybe look like a Christian. But Lord, we're not really producing fruit. We're not abiding in you, and you don't have the full control over us. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us produce the fruit. That you would have us produce as we prepare for this upcoming, these days of prayer, the days of soul winning and the revival meetings. I pray that you'd bless us, Lord, and help us to be empty of ourselves, filled with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll give you praise and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name.